is preeminently the time to speak the truth, the whole truth, frankly and boldly. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Today's show is brought to you by Paul's Automotive. Paul's Automotive is located at 634 Route 46 in Kenville, New Jersey. If you want a master mechanic who has over 38 years of experience with quality work, he's your guy to call. He strives to keep you in a safe and reliable vehicle, and his goal is to make your experience as pleasurable and convenient as possible. It's not like you're dropping your car off and you're getting somebody named Joe Blow who's working on your car. Paul's the guy that'll be working on your car, and he gives you a reasonable price. We're proud to say that he's helped Autism Radio many times to keep our vehicle safe and reliable on the road. So he's your guy to give a call today at 973-584-1035. Remember, he's always committed to quality, and he's pleasurable to work with, and he is very helpful. So give him a call today at 973-584-1035. 1035 today.
Welcome back to AutismRadio.org, home of the world's first autism support radio network and proud 501c3 charitable organization, helping families challenged with autism every day get services they desperately need. Please help us make a difference in the autism community and find it in your heart to support 1 in 88 families in America today. Donate directly at AutismDonation.org. Now, stay tuned for a special broadcast of Hope Saves the Day with autism activist, super dad and author of The Spectrum Diet, master chef and the Hope Man himself, your host, Paul Simmons.
Thank you for that great introduction as always. It's great to be back on another edition of Hope Saves the Day. I'd like to welcome back to the program my co-host today, Lynn Glukoff.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Great, Lynn. It's great to have you back on today with me. We have a wonderful question of the week that we're going to be sharing with our listeners. It's about talking about self-stimulating behaviors. What behaviors does your ASD child or adult exhibit? And also, how do you feel that self-stimulating behaviors should be handled by parents and professionals? And what self-stimulating behaviors do you find to be the most bothersome, basically? And then also, what self-stimulating behaviors do you think are acceptable, or the ones that you should think that not be tolerated? Now, first, I'd like to start off a little bit about what stimming is. It's a term. Stimming is short for self-stimulatory behavior that's sometimes also called stereotypic behavior in a person with autism. And stimming usually refers to specific behaviors such as hand flapping, rocking, spinning, or repetition of words or phrases. And stimming is almost always a symptom of autism. But it's also important to note that stimming is also a part of most people's behavior patterns. If you ever had a pencil in your hand and you tapped the end, or maybe you bitten your nails, or twirled your hair, or even paced, you're actually engaging in stimming. But this is the big thing. The biggest difference between autistic stimming and typical stimming are the choice of the stim and also the quantity of the stim. While at least moderately acceptable for one to bite one's nails, for example, it's also considered unacceptable to wander around flapping one's hands in public. There's also really no good reason why flapping should be less acceptable than nail biting. And to me, it's certainly a hell of a lot more hygienic. But in the world, the hand flappers receive a lot of negative attention while nail biters are tolerated. So that's just a little bit of a spin on it. But Lynn has a lot of interaction on our social media page on Facebook, on our Autism Radio page, about some of the parents that wrote in to share some of their answers to the question.
Okay. We will share. Got a lot of great, and I thank everybody who participated and who gave me some feedback. I didn't get that much feedback about whether how they felt about it. We'll get to that. Okay, the first one, my daughter gets loud, repeats phrases when she different phrases. I redirect her from this, and that's about it. Okay. She constantly pokes me in the ears and repeats things and I could go on and on, one parent said. Okay. This one was interesting. It's also important to note, I guess, because this person brought up what his stepson does, but this person has autism and Tourette's. Some people have more than one diagnosis with autism, which I've noticed as I've getting more involved with talking with the community. So this, my stepson shakes his head back and forth constantly. He's been doing it for years. I'm curious about the long-term effects of a repetitive movement like that. How does his neck not hurt? And he's developed a sniffing tick. Not sure if these are related to Tourette's or autism. So that's an interesting person. It's just interesting to make note of that because I have noticed that some of them do have more than one diagnosis with autism. This person actually told me what they thought of it. I think that stimming is a good thing. It expresses joy and is comforting when anxious. Some people do stim in a way that is harmful, which can be redirected at another stim to another stim that is more appropriate. Same with stims that should only be done in private. I really like that there are so many stim toys and jewelry available online now. And you will find that, parents, on the different websites. There is a lot of out there that you can get your child to use. The chewing jewelry and stuff like that to redirect the stimming appropriately.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, thing like a stress ball can work just as well as well.
Right.
You know, it's like rather than hand flapping, they can be actually taught to change their stims, you know, a lot of times.
Right. I know that, just wanted to point out from my personal experience with my son, Michael, I remember him being 3 or 4 and really little, and they kept telling me, well, redirect him. And I want to tell those parents out there being, you know, the early intervention director, that when I tried to do that with Michael, I wasn't able to. When the stimming was so bad, and even now, it's hard to redirect. I mean, there are some kids that will stim nonstop. I mean, it just, you can't constantly stop them every time they...
Yeah, no.
Michael, I didn't understand. I said, how do you expect me to stop him? I couldn't stop him. So, and after a while, you know, my husband would say to me, just, you know, you do the best you can, and that's all you can do, because that's all Michael would do. At a certain age, that was all he did. He would not do anything else. So, it was hard. You can't, you know, that was all he was capable of doing at that particular time. I mean, now he's able to do more, but... You know, I think sometimes the therapists don't really fully understand how often they do it. I mean, my son, it was nonstop stimming, when he was young, that's all he did. Okay, also, this is another point that someone pointed out. My son never did any of the classic stims, like flapping or rocking. What he does do is pick at his skin. He constantly opens his sores, and if he can't find one to pick, he'll make one. We've tried many things over the years to get him to stop, but it's something that he won't give up. Doctor recommended I wrap his arms and legs in plastic so he couldn't get at them. Okay, that's a tough one. My son picks at his nails. They are short, so short that I have no idea how he manages to pick his skin open. He has actually pulled out a toenail a few times in his life. I mean, the entire nail. My son used to spin his toys when he was younger. Then he moved on to clapping all day long, and as you were expected to do. Recently spent 7 weeks in an autism and behavioral therapy, and he started going through puberty, pulling people's hair out without warning. Since then, he's been really good. They started him on medication, never used anything in the past. He's much more focused, and the compulsiveness has gone way down. He now chews his fingernails, which he never did before, and he has chewed them halfway down the nail. We've been buying lots of sugarless gum, and it's helping. But crazy how one thing ends and something else begins. And that's another thing I want to point out.
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, it just typical, like Jonathan, you know, used to do the classic hand flapping. Now he doesn't really flap his hands. He does a lot of hand biting. Also does a lot of hand clapping now instead of flapping.
Michael does loud.
And it's loud. It really loud
really
claps.
Loud.
It could be, you know, 3 a.m. and all of a sudden you hear slapping his hands together in his bed and you're like, okay, well, he's okay. At least it's kind of good. But, you know, and then he did the spinning at the age of 3. He was spinning consistently and flapping hands, you know. And then now, you know, it's changed so much and it's amazing. I mean, I think that's another great part of the question is that, how many times have you seen your child's stims change?
Right.
You know, I know, like I said, I mean, he would do, you know, he was actually very fixated with hair, too. He used to pull strands of hair from his head when he was little.
From his head. Okay.
And also other people. He would also grab other people's hair.
Yeah, Michael used to pull his therapist's hair.
And, you know, he used to be very, very asphyxiated on that. And then he did more spinning and hand flapping. And then he also would do a lot of hand biting. It seems to be, and I don't know if you call that stimming or frustration or what you really call it, but he bites his hands a lot.
I had to put him on medication for that. That's when we started putting Michael on medication because I couldn't. He was actually going through like he would have red marks on his skin at like 5 years old. So at that point we started him on Respital, and he hasn't done that since. He stopped. But yeah. I think as they get, to be honest with you, in my opinion, as they get, I don't know if it was necessarily the medication, but also as they get more skill level, they get less frustrated, if they're able to express themselves. I think it's a way of them coping with, you know, all the stress that they're under, and they can express themselves. And it's frustrating for them. You know, it's really frustrating for them. And the world is completely different for them than it is for us. It's, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very overwhelming. I mean, they have so much sensory input, you know, noise, light, heat, you know, and just frustration, you know.
Yeah.
They could have, you know, anxiety. They could have fear. They could have anger, any kind of negative emotion. You know, it can be very, very challenging. And, you know, my thing is that, you know, do we really want to change their behaviors of their stimming if that's helping them stay regulated?
Question, right. And that's why I asked that question. I said, what do we, you know, how do you feel about it? I mean, I think you can't completely, in my opinion anyway, maybe you can redirect it so it's more appropriately, you know, so it's appropriate with certain things. But I don't know if you can completely stop it. And it is their way of coping. So it's like basically telling your child, if your child, like a typical child, if they were screaming and they were scared to tell them to stop, it's kind of like, how do you stop something?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, stimming is basically a useful accommodation that makes it possible for autistic people to manage a lot of challenging situations. It's, I guess, when it becomes a distraction or causes any kind of physical harm to their self or others, then maybe it might be modified, I guess.
Right.
I guess that's the real challenge.
Well, this is another person pointed out. This is the last one I had, actually. The child chews on things, water bottle caps, pens, and she's worried that he will choke. And I had that with Michael, and I think I'm sure you had that with Jonathan.
Yes.
When he went through a certain stage where he would, and my daughter was very, very little, she was like a baby at the time, where he would put everything in his mouth, and it was just like really scary because she had little toys out all the time, and I'd have to tell her. I think that's how she learned when she was so young. Put it away, because I was always worried that Michael would chew on it
in
his mouth and swallow it. So that can be very scary. Actually, we had one time, when we moved to the house, Michael put a nail in his mouth because somebody left a nail. I think I told you the story.
Yes, yes, I do remember the story.
This was horrible. We couldn't get it out. It was stuck in his teeth, some kind of bridge he had in his teeth, so we couldn't get it. And my husband and I tried frantically to get it out of his mouth. We had to bring him to the hospital to get it out of his mouth, and luckily it took like four guys to hold him down and get it out of his mouth because it was really scary. But it can be very frightening with stuff with the mouth. And now actually Michael went back to all of a sudden putting fingers in his mouth, which he hasn't done for years. I don't know why he's doing that now. Maybe he's going through puberty. Maybe that's soothing for him. He's growing a lot. I don't know. But he wasn't doing mouthing at all for a long time. But not, and then there's also, people should know about pica, which is also some severe kids, they actually do swallow. They eat, put stuff in their mouth, and it actually, they swallow, and it can be, that's very, very common.
Yep.
Life-threatening, I think, can be. I mean, that's scary.
It is scary. It is scary. I mean, you know, like our challenges here, like, you know, I think I've mentioned this before, any kind of liquids, nail polish, soaps, you know, pretty much have to keep that stuff put away because he'll get into it. The latest thing he did today, actually, is he got a bottle of Windex and he dumped the bottle of Windex onto the floor. But thank God he didn't drink any or put any in his mouth. But
the fact that
he grabbed a sponge that was out and he grabbed a Windex. This is under the sink now. And granted, this is locked with one of those kids' locks, but he knows how to get it open. We actually lock it underneath there to keep the garbage closed so that the dog doesn't get into the garbage. And you figure, okay, it'll kind of keep him out too, you know, but he's big enough and strong enough to break those things.
Yeah, it's scary.
And, you know, he got a bottle of Windex, you know. It's just crazy. You can't
Michael has a lot.
Relax.
Michael, we used to, and then the other question was, we used to use it as a reward. I mean, this was something, an idea that I think my husband and I came up with for the home program was like, if he's going to spin, because a lot of the thing is, these kids don't have skills to play appropriately. So this is almost like their form of entertainment sometimes when they're young anyway. I mean, now Michael has a little bit more skill. But at that time, he really didn't. So he used to spin on this chair, I mean, literally to the point where you would look at him and get dizzy. It was so fast. We didn't understand. But
I don't know how they do it, honestly. Like, I mean, he'll spin so fast, and I've tried it once, and I, like, fall over.
For 10 minutes, you know, as a reward. And we do use the bouncing, like bouncing on a ball. Now we use, like, more appropriate things as a reward for him because he needs constant breaks in the therapy. But, you know, they need the bouncing, the jumping. Michael does pacing. I had asked one question in a group about pacing, and I had about 30 people answer me about the kids' pacing and how much it drives them insane. Michael will pace the whole house 3 in the morning nonstop and not stop pacing. And I'm like, does anybody else go insane when their kid is pacing? And everybody answered me, yes, they do. Yeah. So that seems to be a common one. And I think when they're little, the hand flapping is like the first thing you notice, but then that seems to go away. You know, I mean, Michael doesn't hand flap anymore either.
Yeah, Jonathan doesn't do a pace. It's more like a run through the house screaming for about an hour.
Oh, screaming. Okay.
You know, he's running like 100 miles an hour. He's flying through the living room, jumping onto the couch, off the couch, onto the furniture, off the furniture, onto the chairs. I mean, he's like frantically like he's being chased by a wild beast the way he moves. Yeah. And you can't stop him when he's in that mode.
That's what I'm saying.
You cannot stop him.
You
really need to just almost like burn it out. And I try to talk to him, but at that point he's not listening to me at all.
They're not listening.
And thank God that doesn't happen that often. But when it does, it's very scary.
Michael used to. We used to be in a condo, and Michael used to bang. He doesn't do this anymore, but he used to bang on the windows in the middle of the night. And I'm like, our neighbors must love, and screeched at the same time.
Right.
And banging on the windows in the middle of the night. I'm like, our neighbors must love us. That was when we started to think about moving to a house. He doesn't do that anymore, but he does screech too. And the thing with Michael is, I mentioned this before on air, he will act perfectly normal. No one will know anything. He'll be completely quiet, not one sound out of him, and then all of a sudden a screech out of nowhere. And usually it's out of joy with him. So it's like he's happy, but it's like people, you know, all of a sudden realize there's something wrong with him or they look at him, you know. He also craves a lot of pressure, deep pressure. That's another, I don't know if you would say stim, but he just wants constant pressure on his face. The jumping I have also, like you have with Jonathan. Michael's big, though, so Jonathan is small. Michael is, like, 6 feet tall, so he's broken two beds already. Now we're on a third bed he just broke. And he's the latest thing is standing up jumping on the bed. I'm like, what?
Yeah, he it's funny you say he broke his bed, actually, yesterday.
Yeah, I don't know what we're going to do.
I have to buy a new frame. It's actually the wooden post. He broke one. I actually cut a 2x4 and put one in temporarily to hold the box frame in there and keep the mattress from falling down. But he destroyed it. I mean, because he jumps, and then what he does is he jumps up and then he lands on his rear end all the way down with his whole body and does it over and over and over.
Mine just uses it as a trampoline, which is even crazy.
Well, yeah, he'll do it. Well, that's what he does. He does it like a trampoline. Like, he'll jump up in the air like three or four times and then come crashing down and then back up on his feet. As he springs back up, he goes back to his feet just like a trampoline. But it's a bed. It's not a trampoline.
I know, and it's like constant need to bounce. You know, they have
constant motion.
Ball. You know, that's just for an idea for people. If you need a big ball, Sports Authority has them. Like this huge ball we just bought him for Hanukkah, and he loves it because it's big.
The TheraBand balls. Yeah, I bought one for him. My God, years ago, he has one. Actually, we have two of them. I have a bigger one for myself that I do exercise on, and I bought him the smaller one. Which now he's still okay size for it, but you know they go by weight and size for the different balls. But it's great for the core and their coordination and their balance too. Although Jonathan is a little bit of a Evel Knievel there, because he'll like literally try to stand on the ball. I'm like, he drives me crazy. He's gonna flip back and smack his skull on the ground.
Oh yeah, yeah. Michael does that too.
Crazy. He put his, like,
head,
what are you
his
doing?
Head all the way down.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, Michael does that too. He seems to, but his is like a visual. Like he likes to like, and I found him at the gym doing it, which is kind of scary. I was like, Michael, no, no, no. And he'll be like, put his head back and like start. It's the same visual stim.
Yeah.
I think it
yeah.
is. Yeah, it's like a visual thing, where like the spinning is, you know. And that's why he loves amusement parks. I mean, you take him on any ride, he's like, loves spinning, you know. It's like
yeah,
funny.
Yeah, see, that's weird. Cool. Now, Jonathan does not like rides. He used
really?
To love them when he was little. Now he won't go anywhere near rides.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, it's,
and that's different personality.
You know why? Because Jonathan likes to be controlled. He does not like to be controlled. He has to be controlled of his situation.
I know.
You know, he's just very, like, self-aware of his surroundings. And, like, for instance, we have a dog, and actually, you know, it's talking about, like, I was talking to someone the other day about how animals in the classroom can be, you know, a great thing for kids with autism, you know. And we have a dog at home, and he loves our dog. But the thing is, when a dog comes to him, he doesn't like the dog. But if he goes to the dog, he'll hug the dog, he'll love the dog. But
yeah.
he does not like a dog jumping on him. That's what it comes down to. He likes to be very... the same thing with hugs. If you go to give him a hug, he pushes you away with a stiff arm right to the face. I mean, he doesn't care.
Oh,
but
really?
He'll come and he'll hug you and he'll sit next to you. But then as soon as I put my arm, he pushes my arm right away. So he's
yeah,
just very self-aware of his surroundings.
It depends, yeah.
You know, there's like a barrier around him that he just doesn't like anybody to penetrate. And he'll only greet you on his own terms.
On his own terms,
so,
right. That's
it's
his personality.
Kind of
though.
Funny.
You know,
yeah.
that's his personality
yeah.
coming through. Mine,
yeah.
it depends on his mood. I think, like, you know, most of the time he's receptive to it, but sometimes he's not. It depends. Sometimes he's just like, you know, he doesn't want it. Because, I mean, Amanda, God bless her, she'll jump on his lap and, you know, she doesn't give him any time to say no.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, it's amazing how the siblings can get away with a lot of stuff
yeah,
that
yeah,
you and
yeah.
I can't do, for sure. But we want to thank everybody for writing in. I think it was a great topic. It's something that, you know, doesn't get talked about that often either, Lynn, if you really think about it. It's not something
right.
that we really don't discuss on an everyday basis. So,
right.
But we got to thank all our listeners and our readers out there on our page. Lynn does a phenomenal job posting a lot of our great questions of the week on the Autism Radio page. So be sure to be a part of that every week. But it's really important we get this out there too, Lynn. We have a huge, huge event coming up that before we go, I want to put it out there so people can write it on their calendar and put save the date. We have our first annual casino night. It's going to be scheduled on September the 18th at the Bethwood in Totowa, New Jersey, and it's going to be from 7 till midnight, and it's going to be a really packed, full of action and excitement evening. We have some special guests that are going to be attending. Pretty soon we'll be releasing that to the public, but we're going to have some celebrities, some sports figures, you know, great chance to meet some great people and also raise money for a great cause and help us continue our journey for 2015 and growing our programs and helping more families in the autism community. So we're looking forward to seeing you there, Lynn. And of course,
okay.
of course, Lynn has
calendar.
Lynn is also too. And I know we mentioned this last week on our first show of 2015, but she's being honored at the Pamper Me event for moms of children with autism by Sadie Brody. And that event is March 22nd. Is it
22nd? Yeah,
22nd. And where do you have a location where it's at so we can shout it out there?
I don't have the name of the place.
Okay, I know it's in Patterson, New Jersey.
Patterson.
I know it's Patterson, New Jersey. I don't know the name of the place, but we'll have to get
either.
That.
I'm not in front of me.
We'll have to get
Manor.
That next week as it gets closer
yeah.
To let our listeners know about it. Also want to shout out and give a huge, huge thank you to Caroline Waterman for putting together our first annual raffle for the Swim for Hope program. We raised quite a bit of money for our swimming program. We're going to be getting some towels and some bags for the kids' swim gear and some new swim
nice.
Gear for them with all the money that we raised. So it goes right back into the program. So
wonderful.
Really excited about that. And we thank everybody's efforts and all the families that participated in helping us raise money for the program that, of course, benefits their children. But it was great to see all the support that came about, and it was just a great event, and we're going to be doing it annually. It's going to be every year our New Year's party, so for the swimming program. So that's going to be a great thing. We have a lot of exciting stuff coming up in the future. Also, in the process of rewriting Hope Saves the Day in a different version, hopefully in the near future. And also remember that at the end of our show every week, Hope Saves the Day is our closing song, and it's available on iTunes. And remember, if you purchase a song on iTunes, all the money that we raise from the song goes right back to the charity. So I don't make a dime off it. It goes all back to the charity. That's what it was for. It's for the family.
And sings the song, and it's a gorgeous song. So I love it. Everyone I know who's heard it loves it. It's a beautiful song. You hear it at the end of our program. It's so definitely worth every dollar that you spend on it.
No, it's great. Well, thank you, Lynn. I do appreciate that. And we just thank everybody again for your continued support here on the program. And have a great week, everyone. And remember, until next time, hope saves the day. Good night, everyone.
Every time I see your smile, I wonder what you feel. Every time you laugh or cry, I wonder if it's real. You seem trapped inside. Please help me understand, what is your world like? I want to feel your love. I want to know what it's like to laugh and play. Imagine a thought that you cannot feel, a tear trapped inside. Imagine a sound that you cannot make, no matter how hard you try. I want you to know how I'm feeling. I want you to know how it feels to be me. I wish you could look into my world and see how I see. Hold my hand and remind me to hold on to hope each day. Let this song be my voice. And remember, hope saves the day. Show you what I see. What kind of life will I have? What's in store for me? Don't be afraid, just love and hold me. I can be all that I can be. With your love I can do anything. With your love I can see the world like rays of light shine upon me, inside of me. There you are right by my side. I will love you till the end of time. Hold my hand and remind me to hold on to hope. Let this song be my voice. And remember, hope saves the day.